You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Time to fire up the VCR. This one's my favorite.
Welcome to Analog Jones and the Temple of Film. I'm Steve, and this is a VHS podcast that looks at the box art trailers and behind the scenes. And returning again, like always, is Chris and Brad. Chris, say hello and tell these people who can't read, what did we watch?
Hi, we watched 1998's Blade. We had other choices. Films are hard to get, so we're watching Blade.
I guess we can tell them. Your original pick was Near Dark.
Yeah. It's only on Criterion, and it's like either a $40 or $80 tape, depending on what cover you get.
Yeah, so it wasn't worth it. Whatever, things happen.
It looks tight. I'm still going to watch it. I've never seen it.
Oh, you'd never seen it. That's why you picked it.
Some of these movies I pick because I've never seen.
Damn, that's a great one. I just don't know why it's so difficult to stream. There's got to be some type of reasoning, if it, you know, because... Criterion, is Criterion over there in the UK? I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, they got Freddy Got Fingered on Criterion right now. So maybe we'll get a box set coming.
I had a friend in college who loved that movie so much, and I think he loved it so much because I didn't like it at the time.
Oh. You don't like Tom Green?
I mean, I like Tom Green sometimes.
He's a cancer survivor.
I can't like all cancer survivors. There's got to be cancer survivors out there that suck ass. Okay. That's why I'm sorry. That's not a popular opinion. Yeah,
that could be a review, like a streak for us where we could do Criterion movies. We can do Freddy Got Fingered, and then we can do Near Dark.
I thought you were going to do a cancer survivor movie.
Yeah.
We could also do that too. That's a thing we can do.
Steve interviews cancer survivors with Brad and Chris and tries to find the asshole.
Like, hey, you're a cancer survivor and you're also an asshole. Like, fuck you.
You're rare. You're a rare
you
one.
You should have died.
Anyway, bring us the advertisement, Brad.
Okay, no advertisement this week. I just want to remind everybody to go check out our friend Taylor's his Indiegogo. If you go to vampiremovie.com, that's Vampire, not vampire, but vampire, like Bambi and Vampire movie.com. It'll redirect you to the Indiegogo page where you can put some money down, help him out, get this thing going. We're excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it in what, 3 years, he thinks?
I don't quite know. I know the Indiegogo started on March 4th, so whenever this comes out, I mean, our last episode, we interviewed Taylor, and it was great. We went over Vampire and The Last Blockbuster, so I highly recommend it. He's a very professional interview and a lot of fun. So
you sure? Yeah, he sure carried us along.
It was just like, it was easy. I felt it was like the easiest interview. You just asked him a question and he fucking rolled. There was none of this like, I don't know. Next question, no comment. None of that. He just goes. It was
hey, like talking about stuff too. I think it was less of an interview and him telling us about Vampire and then just talking about The Last Blockbuster a bit.
Oh, yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah, which, by the way, for our listeners, I suppose most of our listeners have probably seen that already, but if you haven't, I highly recommend finding it. On, I think you can find it on
Tubi.
Everything, like Tubi. It started out on Netflix, and then it moved to Tubi, Crackle, and all that stuff. I think it's even on Plex. So, whatever. You can find it anyway. Yep.
Go check it out.
All right, Brad, bring in the quick facts.
Quick facts. We got this directed by Stephen Norrington, who began his career as a sculptor, a makeup artist, and has directed 4 films. Quite the Renaissance man there. Written by David S. Goyer, who's done quite a bit in his career, ranging from directing to screenplays. I don't know what he's best known for. He's known for doing a lot of things, I guess. He did screenplays for several superhero films like Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., the Blade trilogy, The Dark Knight trilogy for Christopher Nolan, Man of Steel, Batman v Superman. He also directed Zigzag, Blade Trinity, The Invisible, The Unborn in 2009, in addition to also working on some of the Call of Duty video game titles. So the guy's been around.
It's a list.
That is quite an accomplishment, doing all that. And I need to watch the Nick Fury Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, like pilot from 1998. I've always wanted to. I just... I don't know. I kind of forget that it exists. I know it's on YouTube. It's free.
Yeah, that was like, wasn't that an attempt by somebody to get Marvel kind of going, and it just didn't quite take off the way it did when they started for real in 2008 with Iron Man and all the sequels that came after.
Dude, I thought this was an attempt to get Marvel off the ground.
This could have been.
I mean, it was. It did get Marvel off the ground. Then you had Spider-Man come along, and then it was launched, and of course you had, you know, X-Men at the same time. So this movie actually helped launch taking Marvel movies serious.
It was like the effort was not as focused as it was under the Marvel Studios with Kevin Feige, who somehow was able to convince people that having all these crossovers was going to work. I don't think people had really done that so much.
No. I mean, Disney was late to the game and had to buy the Avengers, which no one really wanted. And, you know, to the credit of all of them, that they built these superheroes up and then started the crossovers. And, you know, now the superhero has reached the top and is kind of falling. It feels like, I don't know if that's true, but.
I mean, the height was so high. I mean, the only place to go was down too.
Yeah. God, I hope they're done soon. I loved them so long for so many years. And now I'm just, there, you guys are driving this in the ground.
There's a lot of fatigue with that. You know, there's also a lot of incentives to keep numbers moving up, you know, maybe not make the best movie so much anymore. But back to this movie. This is based on Blade by Marv Wolfman and Gene Colan. They both worked for Marvel, I believe. Edited by Paul Rubel, who, if you've ever seen the Transformers, he's edited 4 Transformers films, which I find very enjoyable. And as I get older, I enjoy those movies even more because they're just stupid robots, like, murdering each other.
Just explosions are fun, man.
So I just appreciate that.
I like some of them, and then there's others I think are just trash. So maybe that's kind of what you like about it, right?
It's kind of what I like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shut your brain off kind of films.
Yes. So they did this for a budget of $45 million. So back in 1998 dollars, that would be equivalent to probably about $140 million, $120 million today. Maybe I'm overestimating, maybe around $100 million. But anyway, a pretty significant budget. But they got a nice return on this at $131 million, probably a ton in rentals and streaming now, too. So doing well. Only scored a 58% on the Tomatometer. I don't understand why. 78% on the audience score. I know Ebert gave it 3 stars just for being badass.
Yeah, I think this is one that the tomato meter was definitely wrong with 58%. I just feel like a lot of critics back then weren't ready for this. And like the Michael Bay type editing, which is why I brought up and I wrote down Paul Rubel, is because he's like done a lot of Michael Bay's, especially the Transformers. I feel like at that time, a lot of these critics weren't ready for that. And they're like, oh, it's just a bunch of sizzle. There's no steak. And you're like, well, better get used to this, bud.
It's the wave of the future.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody I know that watched this when it came out was hyped.
Yeah, because they were all around our age and stuff. Yeah. It was great. It was new. You know, you had a bunch of movies like that at the time where they were combining a lot of comedy elements, dark and gritty. You know, you think about Men in Black with their comedy and it's kind of dark and they're trying to
hackers,
you know,
Johnny Mnemonic. Like, there's a whole bunch of movies that are along the lines with this.
Well, and also remember there's a lot of smoking in this movie and there's techno music. So this reminds me of like going to a club and just like and just grinding up on some girl, you know, and it's like, hey, this is appropriate because we're listening to techno and I've got a glow stick in my hand. Let's go.
Also, this was the time period where sci-fi could be taken seriously now. Like, I remember when I was young, like in the early 90s, and like I would tell people that I would watch Star Trek and it'd be like, oh, you're one of those nerds, you know. And then I guess maybe Independence Day like brought it all, you know, like, oh, it's popular now. And I'm like, I was watching it back in the day. And they're like, shut up, nerd.
You know who opened that gateway for us was your man, Will Smith.
That's right. Welcome to Earth, bitch.
That's why he brought in Men in Black, too. He's just obsessed.
Well, I mean, Will Smith can't miss. I mean, that dude is great.
I mean, literally, Chris Rock's face. He couldn't miss.
I should probably talk about this movie a little bit more here. So starring Wesley Snipes as Blade, who apparently had the Analog Jones accountant team do his taxes at some point because he went to jail for a while, but he's out. And he's still doing great work. This guy still looks just jacked. You know, he could bend Blade for the remake, too.
Also, surprisingly, when you hear, like, I listen to the commentary, he is very soft-spoken. I mean, he speaks well, but it's also very soft. And, I did not expect it. Because, you know, you've seen all of the characters that he's played throughout these years. You know, like, White Men Can't Jump, his character in that one. Then you got Blade here. And all these characters he's had. And then he's just so soft-spoken, and you're like, what? Really? Okay.
He can act, and he can do his stunts, man. Stephen Dorff here, Deacon Frost, who I made a note, he has a Wesley Snipes, Mahershala Ali connection, the Blade, the next Blade, and the previous Blade. So that's a neat little, I wonder if he's going to get a cameo in that next Blade movie coming out next year.
Is it still coming out next year? No, I thought only year. Deadpool's coming out next.
Deadpool, this year, I think 2025 is.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot what year it was.
I'll keep up on it. We'll keep you up there. So I think that'll be a couple good ones coming from Marvel. We got Kris Kristofferson as Abraham Whistler.
That's great.
Yeah, he's awesome. And Boucher Wright as Dr. Karen Jensen. I haven't seen her in a lot, but I liked her a lot too.
Yeah, I wondered that rewatching this. I was like, where'd she go? I think she did really good.
And we've got our old friend, Donald Logue as Quinn, who we last saw in Silent Night that we reviewed a little over a year ago.
He's really good at the comic relief in this, where you kind of could see him messing someone up at the same time as, you know, making all these jokes. And I just find him a great character actor.
Yes. And then lastly on our main list here was Udo Kier as Dragonetti. And if you ever need to cast a weird German dude in your movie, this is the guy. This is your number one guy on the list right there.
He's done everything. He's done blockbusters like this all the way down to, you know, like Full Moon movies. I fucking love Udo Kier. He just does whatever. I bet he's got great stories, too.
I'll bet. Shall we get into the trailers now, or do you want to...
Chris, you actually had the VHS. Why don't you tell everyone the trailers?
Oh, it was just like the check out our movies that we made. Little snippet of like 30-second clips over and over. And then Astronaut's Wife.
That is a weird one. Like,
it just, how they say everything sounds so good. Like, check out our new movies. Like, Blade, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, and an Astronaut's Wife.
Don't forget, cool. We have that. We need to sell those. Move some units. Please.
We made too many. We got to get them off the shelves.
That's all. That's all that's on my tape. There's nothing else.
You didn't get the Blade soundtrack?
Who's in Astronaut's Wife?
Who knows? Isn't Brad Pitt or something in that?
You could point a gun at my head and be like, who's in the Astronaut's Wife? I'd be like, how many guesses do I get?
I have no idea. I've never seen it.
Just give me more than one.
It's like, it's that movie where he goes up into space and then he doesn't come back. It's like somebody else like him and she's freaking out the whole time about it. But I bet there's a twist somewhere.
I don't know. Keep delaying why I share the screen for the trailer. I mean, about the Astronaut's Wife. I feel like it's going to be a character actor where we're like, oh yeah, he's been in 100 movies. We're like, oh, we should fucking know that.
Yeah, watch James Woods show up in it.
Yeah, of course.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. Oh, well, that would make sense why we wouldn't remember it. Here we go. Here's the trailer for Blade.
You better wake up. The world you live in is just a sugar-coated topple. There is another world beneath it. The real world.
For thousands of years, they have existed among us.
You keep your eyes open.
They're everywhere. Chances are you've seen them yourself and didn't know it.
A secret nation.
Our livelihood depends on our ability to blend in.
With a lust for power.
We should be ruling the humans. These people are our food.
They've got their claws into everything. Politics, finance, real estate.
There's a war going on out there.
He makes the weapons. I use them.
Now, one will lead them to conquer mankind.
Tonight, the age of man comes to an end.
We're gonna be gods.
and one will try to stop him dead.
There are worse things out tonight than vampires.
Like what?
Like me.
Half human.
Blade's mother was attacked by a vampire while she was pregnant.
Half immortal.
You got the best of both worlds. All our strengths, none of our weaknesses.
He is their greatest fear and our only hope.
It's open season on all vampires.
Wesley Snipes, Stephen Dorff.
You're one of them, aren't you?
No, I'm something else.
Yeah, good trailer, New Line.
Just the constant techno.
I mean, that was the 90s, baby. I mean, I think they did that with Mortal Kombat, too, because, I mean, that's, you know, a New Line vehicle, so.
Yeah, then this gave way to nu metal, I think, a couple years later.
You were like 14 when this came out, weren't you, Steven? That's 13.
98. Let's see, I was born in 82. 16?
Oh, you're a couple of years older. I was 14. Okay. It's 98.
I just love how you're still dancing, Chris. You're just like,
I don't remember how old I was. 13. This shit was tight when it came out. Watching this in high school, just going home.
I think my brothers and I own this soundtrack. It was either this or Mortal Kombat, and I really can't remember. Well, we definitely had Mortal Kombat because I remember.
Mortal Kombat!
Yeah.
Dude, the Mortal Kombat soundtrack is so much better than this to like own.
Yeah.
Oh, that movie was, I like Mortal Kombat. Like, Crispin Lambert just shows in there and he's like this ancient Vietnamese, like, thunder god and everything. And he's like,
So, miscasting sometimes is like great, unless you're like being an asshole about it. I don't care.
I don't think they were being assholes. They were just kind of ignorant at the time.
They're like, this is all we can afford right now. We don't know.
I know. I do miss that we'll have roles like that in the future because, you know, we're way too straight laced with it now. It's just like, all right, if he's, you know, an Asian character, we got to hire an Asian actor. And you're like, I understand that. But you do realize we're never going to get Peter Lambert. Just
it's to avoid, I can't remember his name in 16 Candles when the Asian landlord.
Yeah, but that was when you're like, you're doing awful stereotypes.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to avoid with it, but we're going to miss stuff like the Christopher Lambert, and you're like, you're not Asian, buddy.
Yeah. No. Like the non-offensive accidental whoopsie castings.
Christopher Lambert just called people up, and they're like, yeah, Christopher Lambert really wants to be on this, but he wants to play Raiden? Is he Red? Does he know who Raiden is? And he's like, oh, yeah, he knows. He just thinks it's really cool.
Well, what's even more awkward is he wants Jax to be a second choice. And we're like, better go with Raiden.
I'll make him wear a hat the whole time. It'll help.
So Blade is born at the beginning of this. And then we skipped ahead 30 years later. His mama dies, which does come back later in the story. But I just want to get to the blood rave. I don't really care about a lot in the beginning of this. We get it. I do like Blade's origin story is like a few minutes. It's just like, yeah, he was born. His mom died. He's a vampire.
His bitch who went into labor. We have Blade now. Look at him.
Yeah.
Blood rape time.
Oh, that opening scene was so awesome. First off, you got Tracy Lords there. And I just want to remind everybody, if you own a video of hers that's of the adult nature and it's not the last one she ever made, like, you're a criminal.
Yeah. The people tried to sell them online. And I was like, I think that's illegal.
I caught up on that because of the comments, and I didn't know any of this. I don't own any Tracy Lord, but it is crazy where people are like, yeah, you can only legally own two of them or one of them on VHS and stuff like that. And I'm like, what are you guys talking about? And then I started reading about it. I'm like, oh, no fucking way. I had no idea.
She was like 15 to 17.
Ooh.
In a lot of those.
And then she just started acting, right? Right after that?
I think she's good. Like, in the movies and stuff, she's fun. I don't see a problem with Tracy. I'm not talking about the early work. I'm talking about the later work.
I didn't even know it was her until you guys just brought it up. I was just like, oh, it's a pretty actress. Here we go. Whatever. I don't know.
Very seductive. And she's putting her seductive powers to work on Heat Seeking Dennis is the guy's name. And I recognize him. So if you ever watched the Shield, like from the early 2000s, he was one of the detectives on there.
I thought he looked familiar.
Lemansky.
Yeah.
Great show.
He's definitely got that central casting blonde guy look. So I could see him definitely being in TV. Not saying he's a bad actor or anything. I'm just like his look.
I don't think
he's just like perfect.
Oh, he's awesome in The Shield. Yeah, he's one of the
cops. I don't think anybody was bad in this. I think everybody did pretty good in this movie. It's one of those movies that's hard to talk about because we can't really make fun of it.
I know.
Well, you know, this movie does. A lot of women get punched in the face in this movie, which is normally not okay. But if they're vampires, I think that's fine to like punch a woman in the face.
We've discussed that.
Yes. You can punch vampire women in the face. I don't find that offensive.
Or monster women or alien women. Or
that's true. There's terrorist multiple
women.
I mean, I've already said cancer surviving asshole, so I don't want to go into more punching of different types of women.
Punch a cancer survivor vampire.
Yes, technically. Yes, yes.
You could, yeah. I think the vampire takes precedence there.
The commentary was really boring in this movie. Exceptionally boring, because this is like an early 2000s commentary that they took from the DVD and moved it to the Blu-ray I have, because it's like multiple different people recording on their own and then they play them over the segments, and they're all very monotone, they're dry and everything like that. But at least the editor who was on when he was talking about the blood rave here was very interesting, saying that they use strobe lights in this scene, and they time the strobe lights with the shutter speed of the camera. So when the blood was, you know, dropping down on the actors and everything, it slowed it up to make it look weird. It had the exact same timing between the shutter speed and the strobe lights. And I was like, oh, that's why it looks so kind of iconic, I guess you could say, but very unique.
It looks like one of those oil lamps that uses like the flashing light to make it look like the beads are going down.
Yeah, because it doesn't look like it, at certain parts, it doesn't look like normal liquid. It looks like particles, even though I understand that, you know, like the liquid would be particles. But I'm just saying it's just very unique look.
Interesting. I wondered how they did that.
And then Blade shows up and fucks him up. Woo!
And then we get Indiana Jones reference. The chick grabs the two hooks and starts swinging them around. Then he just shoots her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I'm tired of poking holes. What do you say to like, what do you say to Quinn? He's like, I'm tired of like poking holes in you. Or
I know, that's the guy. He smashes Quinn to the wall with like the two shotgun
stakes.
Stakes
into the wall. Stakes. Yeah.
Just burns him alive.
And then the cops show up and they take him. I do wonder, how the hell does he afford silver stakes and all these? I mean, that's expensive. I know they show a scene where he gives like a pawn shop owner a bunch of jewelry to pay for stuff, but even still, silver stakes? Yikes.
I've always said, if you're a superhero that needs money, I'm sure you could steal or get it from the people that you beat up. Takes all their money and their jewels and their cars. And
yeah, unless he's got to run from the cops from the rave. That's probably what pissed him off the most. How much money was at that rave that he could have got?
Yeah. It's like, that's so many stakes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess he could like take the personal effects off all the, you know, the vampires that he incinerated. Mm-hmm. But you know, if I was him, I would start my career as a professional athlete and be like the best ever in any sport. Yeah. And then take that money and use it to hunt vampires.
But he ages like a human, so that plan doesn't work as well. It's not like he's living six lives.
But what if he's an athlete that retires early, you know, kind of like a Barry Sanders? You know,
like retires 30. When he's like 40, 30. Yeah, maybe.
And Brad's got a solid idea. I like what you're doing here.
Yeah, Brad. Retire when you're like 30, then you still got lots of good, you know, prime time vampire hunting in you.
But the problem was, if you're really good and really rich, people would recognize you.
That could be a problem. That's why you got to wear a trench coat and sunglasses.
Just be like a luchador playing basketball or something.
That would be interesting.
It's going to be tough to breathe.
No one's ever pulled that off yet, but maybe someday.
He could have been the first. You heard it here. So after that, ends up the girl is at the hospital, gets bit. And then we start this whole thing where they basically got this girl. And she has been bitten by a vampire, and she works with blood. What are they actually called? People who
hematologist.
Work with blood? Hematologist.
Just so happens to be working at the hospital at the same time a burn victim comes in.
And that burn victim happens to be Quinn and kills your boyfriend, which the boyfriend does come back. But I don't want to spend too much time on, you know,
Karen,
the story.
Karen.
Have you gave much thought about us?
Oh, when he comes back as a zombie? Yeah.
No, and she just savagely beats him too. Just like, she's a savage. She is a savage in this movie. There's a couple times where she like, Blade tells her to turn the UV light back on. What's his name?
The tech guy. I can't remember his name.
No, the vampire that's like morbidly obese.
Yeah, but he's the tech
Pearl.
Guy.
Pearl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like, and then she just like, and then she just keeps hammering the guy after he's like just screaming for mercy, and she just keeps it on him, and she's just like,
he moved. Yeah,
I do like that they bring Karen back to the base. They're like base and everything, and Whistler sits there and explains their entire story to her, and then they're like, yeah, you need to get the hell out of town because you're a vampire now. And I'm like, why did you tell her the entire story? I know why you're doing it, so you can tell the audience, but I was like, she's going to be your enemy soon. You just spilled the beans.
Oh, yeah. Then Blade goes all like your drunk uncle on Facebook with conspiracy theories then, too. He's like, the vampires are everywhere. They own everything. There's a war going on. You don't know about it.
He puts on his foil hat.
This movie actually feels like David Goyer like read this from a conspiracy theory, because then we've got older vampires who are like a New World Order controlling everything from behind the scenes. It's like shadow money. And then, you know, yeah, you're right. Oh, my gosh.
David, you know, Moore, if I was them, if you're like a hedge fund manager and you got all this money and you need blood, right? So just go out and contract out people's, because you can get a lot more blood from a person if they're just given like a blood donor, like every once in a while, give a pint or two every other week than you can by like draining somebody completely.
Well, that's what they said. They owned blood donation centers around there.
Yeah. And I think they go more into that on the third one.
Yeah. It's like they use it like drugs.
Yeah.
Like a drug ring.
Well, I mean, I guess David Goyer originally in his first whatever script that they had, they went into this where they were, once they would run out of humans, then they would start harvesting humans in giant blood bags and basically just drain them every once in a while to get enough blood. But they kind of said that was a little too much to add into the story, so they cut it. And I was like, well, that's good. Because I was like, I mean, you already had an underground secret old vampire, you know, race running everything, plus you've got like this blood god that you're talking about, plus you're introducing this new character of Blade where, you know, like new audience members are figuring him out. There's only so much you can fit in these origin stories before it just becomes laughable.
You gotta wait till the second one
or the third in this case when you go into the whole blood bank thing. Yeah, I mean, just to talk about more things, throw them out there, is Deacon Frost just being this like wild, crazy young vampire who they keep making fun of because he's not pure blood. And, you know, I get that the old vampires would say stuff like that, but they've got to be outnumbered like what, 20 to 1, even more?
Yeah.
Like, there can only be so many purebloods left.
But it's like that in every vampire story. The purebloods look down on the knots.
It's like they're the country club, you know. They're like, we're the country club elite, and you are just the ruffians down here, like having your rave parties.
How the purebloods were made in this.
That's my thing. I was like, are you guys really pureblood, or are you just old enough? Do you like hit like a certain age, and then they're like, now you're pureblood? Because it's more of like something we call old vampires. Because there can only be one pureblood, right? The first.
Depends. In the strain, there's multiples.
All right, yeah, but the strain is like its own beast. That's a very good TV series.
So good.
Yeah. But I get your point. Good objection. Anything else you guys want to bring up?
There's some other interesting parts there. Some of the 90s, I just love watching the 90s computer graphics. Like, this is a computer. This is a computer doing graphics.
Yeah. I love that they're hacking, and all it is like a GUI popping up everywhere, and I was like, that's not what hacking looks like, but it's fucking tight.
Whistler's like fluent in the vampire language. He's like, this says something about the blood god, and it's like, even the vampires that are like 1,000 years old don't know how to read that. And he's just like,
speaking of that Bible language and everything, The one place they choose to corner Blade is in their ancient artifact that has all of their history and knowledge written down in those glass panes. You're like, this is where we're going to fight.
Yeah.
Nowhere else. Irreplaceable documents right here. Let's fuck them up.
It was a great place to fight. Just smashing glass everywhere. Like, doesn't Whistler drive a motorcycle through it?
I thought he drove a vehicle, but then it just shows a hole in the wall and there's no vehicle. It blows a hole.
Blade kicks a child in the face. Yeah. I mean, more than we have another more child endangerment too. When Frost takes that child and just like throws her through the air into like a hot dog cart, and then Blade has to save her from getting run over by that truck.
He's got SPF 9000 on.
You gotta be really confident that stuff's gonna work.
That was kind of the corniest thing in this movie, was when he's just walking around with the sunblock, and I'm like, so you are a daywalker?
Yeah. They want to be daywalkers so bad, but they got those sun-blocking helmets and they got this SPF. And I was like, I think you're fine, guys.
I mean, yeah, it'd be cool to be a blood god, but man, you have to capture Blade to get it. I'm like, I don't know. Just walk around and all that shit you got. You'll be fine.
Being a blood god would be cool, but just stay up at night. That's where the cool shit happens. We talked about this in Vampires. Why do they need to be up at noon? They got to go to brunch?
Yeah. I mean, they're just obsessed with stuff that they want, I guess.
Can't have.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, they want stuff that they can't have. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, whatever. I just think it's a lot of work to go and kill all the purebloods and then get the rest of them to sacrifice to the blood god. Then you got to capture the most dangerous vampire killer on the planet, bring him back, drain his blood, which I don't understand. If they actually drained Blade's blood, wouldn't he be dead?
But they didn't drain him because he got opened. I think the point was to kill him. Because it killed the other guys too, the purebloods. Dude, what I don't get in movies like this is this plot that you've been doing forever. And you just put him up there in that coffin casket thing to drain his blood. And then you just walk away and you're like, da-da-da-da-da. He's fine. Yeah. It's like, leave guards up there. What are you doing?
Or just stab him in the heart right when you're done.
Well, it got interrupted. They weren't done yet.
Like, this is even lazier than James Bond. Like, mm-hmm. At least James Bond would explain the story and they'd be trying to kill him with the laser in the crotch and then he'd get away because the laser in the crotch wasn't fast enough. This one, I mean, they just walk. They're just like, yeah, I'm sure this is going to work out. Dee-dee-dee.
Yeah, but the laser in the crotch not being fast enough, just speed it up. Just shoot him in the chest. It's like, I don't get these on plots. I know it's for the story, for our sake, but you're just like, that makes
another one that was kind of funny that I was laughing about was that when that cop followed Karen back to her apartment and she maces him, you know, and he's like, all like, I'm not a vampire. I'm a familiar. And Blade shows up and just beats the shit out of the guy and just smashes her apartment for no reason. Doesn't have to like just smash her apartment up the way he does and just keeps smacking this dude around and then takes him out back. It just keeps smashing his head into the trunk of the car and just humiliating the guy. Send a message to Frost for me. And then he goes to Frost, and then Frost immediately just humiliates the guy and then kills him. And it's like, dude, have some dignity.
Yeah, this guy had a bad day.
He had to come back for his cop car.
Well, he was annoying. All right. He's just like, no, Frost, you don't understand. Blade got me. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know, Frost has got a lot of his mind. So, but, you know, cleaning that pool is not going to be easy. All right. I know they drink blood, but that you know that pool has chlorine in it. You don't want to drink chlorine blood.
It's going to coagulate all thick and get stuck in the filters.
Gross. I don't know. Why don't I? And I get it. You don't want to throw them off the building because that might draw too much attention, even though apparently these vampires don't give a shit about that at all. Because they're like all the old ones are trying to stay hidden. And like, you know, you're drawing too much attention to us and all that stuff. And these young vampires, they got expensive apartments. They're throwing around money. They're walking out during the day, killing people in their pools.
These kids in the social medias.
I think it's funny. They're like, we got to lay low. But then even in Moscow, above the door is this neon sign written in vampire. You still hear like techno going. It's like, no, they know where we are. It's easy to find.
They mark the buildings in vampire, like, icons and everything. You just happen to have, you know, you just need this black light. It's just like, how the fuck did you find that, Blade? That was just on a random wall. How would a vampire find that?
They gotta know.
If you know, you know. It's like a vampire secret.
The Blade would probably be able to smell the blood. So the vampires.
Yeah, that's okay. They're probably kind of like sharks.
Land sharks.
I even remember in the theater when Whistler quote unquote kills himself off screen. I was like, he ain't dead. He's coming back at the end to help Blade. I was wrong about that, but
I always thought it would be good if Whistler like betrayed Blade or turned into a vampire before he could kill himself or something. Like they knew where it was because he has cancer and he wants to turn into a vampire, but Blade won't do it. So he betrays him. I thought that'd be a good twist.
I thought maybe like, you know, because we go behind the scenes all the time with these things. I was thinking maybe that they recorded Whistler killing himself, but then they cut it because, you know, like test audiences loved it so much or something. And they're like, oh, well, we have to open this up where we can bring it back in the sequel. But I think this was just part of their plan the whole time because they didn't say anything on the commentary. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know. I just thought it was pretty obvious. Like if a vampire would have like beat the crap out of him and thrown him in the ocean or something like that, you've been like, oh no, Whistler's dead. But at least that kind of death, you're like, but he could still be alive. Like shooting yourself off screen. I'm like,
Which one does he come back in?
Comes back in the second one right away.
The second one.
Yeah. Because that's got, what's his name from The Walking Dead? And,
M. Night Shyamalan?
Yes, there we go. Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
I don't know, he's like the most popular character on The Walking Dead, and I can't remember.
Oh, Norman Reedus is in there.
Yes, yeah, Norman Reedus.
He's young,
thank you.
He's really young. Yeah.
I won't spoil that movie if you guys haven't seen it. I think Blade 2, personally, is a personal thing, is better than Blade 1. That's just me.
I remember watching it more, but it has less blood raves.
That is a big problem.
It's a downgrade for it there, but it's not uncommon.
Not Jessica Alba, Jessica Biel. She's in Biel, three, right?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She shot the camera with the arrow. They gave her like a quarter size on the camera lens so that they could do this shot, and she shot right into it.
Wow.
When she shot her arrow towards the camera and just went into it.
Nice.
Hope the camera guy was okay. Or girl.
Yeah. I think that's what they did, is they set up like a safety area for her to shoot at, but had like a quarter or dime size hole so that the camera could get the shot. Made it right in it.
I bet that reaction on the set was just like, holy shit.
Yeah, there's behind the scenes footage of it.
I was gonna say though, it's not uncommon for like a sequel to be better than the origin story. It kind of slow sometimes when the sequel picks right up with that. So I could see why you'd say why Blade 2 could be considered by many to be better than Blade 1.
Yeah, plus the upgrade in the director and everything like that with Del Toro doing it. So,
oh yeah, that guy's quality.
Did I just say Del Toro? Not Benicio Del Toro. Just not, I mean.
Guillermo Del Toro? Oh, yeah. He was going to direct the other movie that I was thinking about picking, but that one was hard to find, too.
No, it was on HBO.
Kronos? Oh, well, we did Blade. Blade's fucking tight. Kronos is good, too. Watch it if you want.
Trying to think where else to pivot here before going to the very end. But oh, Pearl. That's what I wanted to talk about. So that was an incredibly hard scene to shoot with the special effects. Because when they wrote it in, you know, a giant, I saw the sketches for it. A giant, you know, obese,
yeah,
mega
it
obese.
Looks awful. The sketches, they look terrifying.
Yeah. And so they were putting this thing together. And the problem with this was you're taking an actor who's standing, you're surrounding him in all this latex material and then with makeup and all this stuff and everything. That's insanely heavy. So basically, they had to set up the actor with a way to go to the bathroom because this actor would be there for 10 hours, 12 hours, you know, whatever it took to shoot. And they said it was very difficult not only to get the lighting with it because you didn't want him sweat because this poor actor is going to be sweating there with all those lights on. So they're like pumping water into him. They said actually him peeing wasn't that big a deal because he was sweating so much. So yeah, it was a tough shoot.
They just do like something on a platform that he can slide up and in and slide out when he needs to.
I don't quite know how they built it, but when I was listening to his, you know, on the Blu-ray, it was a tough shoot. You know, it wasn't something like catastrophically, you know, or anything. It was just like a tough shoot. It was a tough day, but it looks fantastic. So all the effort was worth it.
Yeah. I think Pearl's another one. That's a really good scene in this.
All right, I think we can go on to the end.
Yeah, that was memorable. That was something I remembered from a long time ago too. That was just freaky.
Mm-hmm.
And then Karen just fries him.
Well, I mean, there's very little CG in this until you get to the end here when we talk about this last fight here. It's 1998.
Yeah. Do you guys think that the Blood God premise is a little lame?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the only bad part of the movie.
It was just to get to a superpowered vampire, which, you know, they're sitting there talking about how, like, he could basically instantly heal. And then the way they do it is, like, when he gets cut in half, this really dated CG, like, reconnects him, like, blood particles or whatever it is. And I was like, ugh. Ooh, this is the only part of the entire movie, the ending, where I'm like, yikes.
Yeah, the Disney Halloween skeletons coming out of the elders, purebloods. I thought that everything's cool on, like, how the blood drips into that very polished, very well-kept drain.
Yeah, I know. It's like someone's been working hard to keep this place clean.
It's like the elders forgot about this place. Fucking idiots.
The cleaning lady apparently didn't, because that place was immaculate.
I don't know who was paying those people, but damn good job.
When the blood starts draining, he's like, elevator up! Takes the skyjack, and he's slowly moving up.
Karen ends up making this, like, well, she tries to make a new serum, I think, for Blades, because another part in this movie is his serum is no longer good. Like, he's kind of outgrowing it. It's not as effective anymore. So she's going to figure out a way to make a new serum. And it ends up turning into, like, a vampire blood grenade.
Yeah. And trying to cure herself at the same time.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah. So she uses the anticoagulant.
Wow. You remembered what it was called.
Yeah.
But now that you say it, I'm surprised I forgot it. It's a great word. Say it again, slowly.
Anticoagulant. You forget I watch these the same day as recording.
That's why I've been listening to the commentary the same day, like, while I work. Because you don't have to watch the movie. You just listen to people talk. And you're like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. The last fight was actually worse than the current last fight. Like, it was fun, you know, watching Frost and him just slap swords together really fast, where they sped up the camera and stuff like that. I just thought, like, when he threw a bunch of serum into him to make him explode, I was like, I don't know. I don't like this whole 12 God bullshit. I did like the whole vampire Bible and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish it would have added up to something different.
It's 90s comic books. It's fucking lame. I mean, fine. It is fun. I wouldn't take it out, but it is, like, I would have been fine if it was just them doing vampire shit and him trying to stop them. Still, more like The Crow or something. Yeah, every time he kept saying the Blood God, there's a god in Warhammer. Korn.
Yeah.
Blood for the Blood God.
Always got to talk about magic or Warhammer on this with Chris. It's always going to add, it's always going to get back to that.
Whatever. Or Star Wars or Marvel. We got this. No, or Highlander 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, I always get back to Will Smith. Brad always gets back to Highlander 1 or 2, which, by the way, we are recording on the day that Highlander came out, the first one in, like, 1986.
Really?
Ooh, happy birthday. Yeah.
And then, yeah, Chris, you go back to magic, anime, or Warhammer.
Yeah. Three things I enjoy.
Crying teenagers on robots.
Yeah. In robots, not on them. That's weird. Oh.
Yes.
While they're in the pilot seat, they're crying, okay?
Thing, yeah. Speaking of teenagers, remember when he goes into that club and there's, like, those teenage girls that are up there rapping in Japanese or something? That was highly inappropriate.
Oh, man, I forgot about
that. Just like schoolgirls, but they're really young.
Are they?
And all those old guys are sitting there just swooning over them, just like...
Oh, in that weird club.
Yeah, they're all smoking and ogling and drinking and watching those girls...
But that club is where, like, the Bible and everything is kept. Because when the explosion happens, it ripples through the club.
Yeah, I don't know why you would have that there, you know?
How many movies have we watched where, like, the nightclub is the criminal hideout?
I know, you have to shoot in less...
The Penguin in the new Batman stuff, he's in a nightclub, and then downstairs is where all the shit is going on that isn't nightclub related.
All right, fair enough.
And loud noises sure hide stuff.
It's true. No one's going to look in the basement for our vampire Bibles.
Look how pretty they are, though.
So all in all, I would say, like, 90% of this movie is really good. I just don't like the ending, but it's better than the original ending, which basically just turned Deacon Frost into like a giant particle tornado of blood with his face over it. It was terrible.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, it's on the Blu-ray.
Is it? It's awful.
Yeah, it's really bad. The bad test screening for this is like legendary, where they're like, oh no, and it delayed the movie forever. So they had to go and they had to write a new ending and then they had to shoot it.
I think the Tower of Power is cool looking, and like how they hold the elders and make the blood get on their head, and I think that stuff's cool. Then you're just like, but this is lame that he's trying to be a god. I don't know. If he was a god, he shouldn't have died that fucking easy.
I know, that was my thing too. I was like, you're a whatever 12 blood god vampire legend and everything like that, and you just die like, oh, syringes, bye.
Yeah, it doesn't even last 5 minutes.
Yeah, is Blade just that strong because he finally drank blood?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
If you're wondering why we skipped over Blade's mom coming back,
it's because it's weird.
You know, she never died. It's because it's so fat. It's just such an afterthought. It's just like, I'm alive, and now you're drinking my blood. Bye.
No, he drinks. He drinks the girl that he's been with the whole time, Karen's blood.
That's right. He just kills.
It is the creepiest sex scene ever.
Yeah.
She's saying like, "Don't stop." Techno music's going on, and they're just grunting and moaning. And I'm like, "This is weird feeling." The end is where this movie kind of falls apart. Everything else is really, really good until they get to like, "Yeah, your mom's alive, you idiot."
Then mom's alive. Then he like immediately dispatches her, and you're not my mom.
Deacon Frost is his vampire dad. He's the one that bit the mom. He's like, all this time you've been looking for me, and here I am. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, that's it. I would say, because then you got such memorable things like Quinn getting his ass kicked throughout the entire film, and he keeps coming back. I fucking love Quinn.
Oh, put your hands out. No, I just got these back.
Will I ever play the piano again?
Before we get into the trivia of this. Well, no, we'll do the trivia first. So this is kind of fascinating trivia. I don't want to go into it. I just wanted to give you guys a bunch of notes on it. That, you know, originally it was supposed to star Shaft, and then it was supposed to star LL Cool J, and then New World Pictures actually sold the rights to New Line Cinema, which wanted Ernest Dickerson or David Fincher or someone like that to direct it. But then David Goyer got a hold of it and, you know, wrote a script and convinced New Line not to make it a spoof, which surprises me that you would read the material Blade and then say like, let's make a spoof. Yikes. No,
just probably didn't think it'd make money.
I don't think a lot of these companies thought these things would last.
There's two things against it. It's like a superhero thing, and for the time it's a black superhero, which probably affected their opinions on it.
Yeah, that had not been successful until this movie came around.
I think the only other successful rated R superhero film, like successful, was Deadpool, right?
I don't know. We'll have to go looking through, but Deadpool was successful. I'll agree with that.
Extremely successful. They really nailed it when Wesley Snipes just couldn't get Black Panther to start production, so he left it, and then boom. Wesley Snipes was perfect for Blade. Such a fit. Mm-hmm. Some things just come together really well.
Yeah, I think he had a lot to do with the whole movie coming together. You know, there's other... What else? Stephen Norrington was... there was a cut scene from this where he was Morbius. They were going to introduce Morbius, but they never got around to it officially.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, read that on the internet.
It must be true.
So it must be true.
Yeah.
It is now.
Well, I mean, that's how Blade got his powers, because originally he was just a guy who couldn't, he was like immune to vampire bites, you know, like he couldn't turn into the vampire. So that kind of made him such a badass. But then I think somewhere in the late 80s, they had Morbius from Spider-Man's universe bite him, which I thought was funny that he couldn't turn into a vampire. That was his power. And then Morbius, a vampire, turns him into a daywalker. And I was like, okay, whatever. Comic books.
Morbius isn't a vampire, maybe?
I thought he was.
Yeah, from science.
Oh, so he's not the same type of vampire.
Yeah, so he is a vampire, but yeah, not by blood, but by science.
I'll be honest, I didn't watch the Morbius movie, and I definitely don't know shit about Morbius from Spider-Man.
You should watch the movie. It's actually really fun. It reminds me of like this shit, like 90s.
Yeah, but this is good. Everyone tells me Morbius is fucking terrible.
Yeah, but people like the movie Titanic. So why would you agree with other people?
I can't just watch Morbius. Nope. Can't compare Morbius and Titanic.
Okay, well, Titanic sucks and Morbius was fun as hell.
Oh my God. Moving on. You guys are going to pick up any more trivia.
There's some other. Oh, and I think, what was it? What it wrote down here? Like, so Marvel shared only a flat fee of $25,000 for this film.
Yeah, I don't understand what that fact means.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I know someone paid money they probably deserved. There's a lot of people screwing each other over in the behind the scenes, I think, as far as the money goes.
No, I'm assuming that New Line Cinema gave them $25,000. Here you go. We're going to make a movie from this.
Oh, they bought it from them?
Well, they bought it from New Line Cinema, so I'm wondering as like, hey, we're going to make a film. I don't know. I don't know what you're the... This is Brad's note, so I'm just like...
Yeah, Brad, you should know what this means if you put it in the
note.
Yeah,
I'm too lazy to go look up further details on it, so I just thought it sounded interesting.
That the extra said that the blood rave scene gave them blemishes on their skin.
Oh.
The lawsuit, three extras in blood rave scene sued the studio and effects company Real Creation Inc., claiming the stage blood caused blemishes.
I assume permanent blemishes to their skin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have been. Who knows? And I know some Wesley Snipes fans were upset he wasn't cast as the new Blade because he definitely looks like he could still play it, even though he's 25 years older now than he was from the original Blade. He still looks like he could do it. But they went with Mahershala Ali, and Snipes voiced his support for Ali in the role. So it's going to do great. If you've ever seen True Detective Season 3.
Yeah, I like Season 3 a lot. Season 4 was tight. You finished it, Brad?
I did. I didn't like the last episode, though.
I did.
Wait, but I just missed the show, you guys.
True Detective.
Yeah, I only watched the first two episodes.
It's good.
Stephen Dorff in Season 3 is awesome. Mm-hmm.
I still gotta watch Season 3. Season 2 of... I've talked about it before. Season 2 of True Detective just sat so poorly with me. I was like, I don't care about the show.
1, 3, and 4 are Supernaturally. 2 is... Prime.
2 is garbage. That's all
I like 2 for what it is, but I wouldn't have ran it as a True Detective show. I like the music a lot in 2.
It gets good at the end, but you have to wait until the end for it to get good.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about his stepson the whole time. But whatever.
Before we get into recommendations, I do like his haircut, by the way, Blade, and how they, in his tattoos, how they put in these, like, I mean, they're tribal-ish tattoos. I don't quite know what they're based off of.
I don't know, but it's on the cover also.
Oh, yeah. They put it on every cover, by the way. The DVD cover, Blu-ray cover, VHS.
Is it all the same cover?
It's basically the same, yeah.
If you're like my age, that was a really popular, the armband tattoo for people my age, about like 2021 at this time, that was super popular for people to get. So that could have been a reason why, too.
Yeah, Reign of Fire made it even more popular, I think.
And then I remember people getting the barbed wire tattoos at a certain point.
Yeah.
See, I feel like a lot of this started obviously from film and stuff like that, just became popular, but like I feel like a lot of it started from wrestling. I don't know why. I have no proof on this. I just feel like somewhere during the Attitude Era, they're just like, damn it, I'm gonna start getting tattoos. What are you gonna get, dog? I don't know. The fucking skull caught on a barbed wire fence. Okay.
I'm getting that tribal with roses tramp stamp this weekend.
Oh, the tramp stamp was huge when I was in college. I remember that. Anywho, memories. Do we recommend Blade?
Fuck yeah.
I was like, Chris, you picked it.
I absolutely recommend this movie. I would say it's like one of those really good. I wouldn't say it's great. It's not something I would watch over and over, but I really enjoyed watching this again.
I would say if you're young and you're highly anticipating the new one coming out and you haven't gone back and watched it, definitely do it. We told you some of the stuff you're going to see. I mean, if you're young, you're not listening to us anyway, but anyway, tell your kids to go back and watch it.
It's a good film. I have a lot of fun with it. It's got its quirks, but you just got to really just ride the highs.
Very few warts. That's what I'm saying. Like if this is wart based, very few.
The ending's just a little sloppy, but a lot of movies are like that.
All right, let's go in the museum.
This is the second time I've had to reclaim my property from you.
That belongs in a museum.
So do you.
This is the part of the show where we go out in the film jungle like Indy and bring something back to our final vampire movie, Wing of the Museum. This one was picked by Chris. So, Chris, what are you putting in the museum?
I think we could probably all three agree. Blood Rave.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, do we need anything else? Just Blood Rave. All right.
Blade's continuous sadism he displays towards Quinn. Sticks him to the wall, burns him alive, cuts off his hand, fights him in the subway, smashes his head against a moving subway, cuts off his other hand, and finally decapitates him to get his sunglasses back. I mean, he just absolutely abuses Quinn the entire movie.
I like how quick he kills Quinn in the end. That little rope chain steel wire thing he uses is really cool, actually.
I'm putting his sword in that, like, if the wrong person's hold, any other person other than like him and maybe Whistler is holding it, how the blades pop out. I love that so much. That was so memorable.
And Deacon Frost, he knew how to shut it off.
Yeah, Deacon smart.
I haven't watched two for a while, so maybe Whistler was a bad guy. Maybe that's why it's stuck in my head.
Yeah, see, I thought what would be interesting about the new one is if Wesley Snipes was the new Whistler, like training the new blade, but I guess they didn't decide to go with that. Because, like, to me, that feels like what Whistler is. Whistler felt like an old vampire hunter who had to retire because it got too much and he fucked up his knee and all this stuff. But, and then kind of like passed on his knowledge to Blade once he found him. I don't know. That's how it felt to me.
Yeah. Once he found somebody that's a daywalker, he's like, well, fuck, I'll just teach you how to do this. He's like,
some old man gadget nerd.
He probably rescued him at one time or something.
Well, I think he did. He like found him, right? Yeah. When he was a kid, trained him. Yeah. What luck that is. All right. That'll end it this week. So our next thing that we're going on to, since we finished vampires here, is a massive franchise that I know Brad and I are very excited about. Chris is probably like, eh.
Why would you say that? It's sci-fi.
Every time we talk about Predator 1, you're like, meh. You guys,
Predator 2's better. I still like it, though.
You guys just like shirtless dudes running around in the jungle. And I'm like, that's true. They're awesome.
Killing communists and stuff. Yeah, I mean, what is there not to like there?
Look at these massive men sweating in the jungle. What's wrong with you, Chris?
Maybe I have taste, fellas.
You want to get your body count up in Hollywood? Just make them communists, and there's no limit to your body count then.
There you go. So if you haven't guessed, we are doing the Predator franchise, and we're sticking to Predator, Predator 2, Predators, and Predator? Did I miss one? I think I missed one.
Well, only two of them are on tape, but...
Hey, you know what? Get out of here with your details. The old rule was if the franchise started during the tape era, we could complete it. So I'm sticking to that rule. But yeah, I think four Predator movies. That's what we're going to do. We're going to stay far away as possible with the Alien versus Predator. We might talk about it, but we're not going to cover them.
Which is a fantastic premise, and it's a great video game, or a number of video games.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, the video game.
Didn't work in the big screen.
Oh, Prey. I forgot about Prey.
Prey's super good.
Oh, okay. You know what? Yeah. All right. We'll cover five of them.
We talked about Prey.
Did we actually cover Prey, though?
I don't think we covered it. We just talked about it pretty heavy in a nerd news.
All right. So, yeah, we'll do all five. Predator, Predator 2, Predators, The Predator, Prey. And I know they're coming out with Prey 2, which I was like, damn, Hulu, Disney, thank you. That's fun. But I thought they should make more. We'll discuss this during our Predator things. I think they should like go all over the place with Predators in the past. Why not? It'll be fun. But thank you for dropping by. Chris, tell them where they can find us on the social medias.
It's been a little while. I might have forgot. We got a Facebook group, Analog Jones Temple of Film. And then we have an Instagram, which is Analog Jones TOF.
Yeah. How is that Instagram page going?
It's good. Lily helped me with a little reel thing. We're trying it. I don't know. Social media is difficult.
It is, especially when you're old.
Mm-hmm.
What do these buttons do?
Yeah. It's a lot of screaming into the void, hoping someone will listen. And, you know, that gets tiring after a bit.
Yeah, and the young people don't listen to us. So remember to be kind.
Their TikToks and their snap faces.
And rewind.
Rewind.